Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon This Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Oh, sorry. I just returned from my ancestral home dimension. I'm back now.
Oh, welcome back. I'm sure that was a long and arduous journey for you.
Well, really, I just had to shoot a blue beam into the mirror in the sky, and it was pretty easy, actually.
Wow, everyday stuff right there.
Yep.
We also have another adventurer with us from a land far, far away. Kelsey's back. Hi, Kelsey.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me again.
Well, how is everything going, everyone? How has your week's been? Any fun, exciting news?
Has anyone been to Canada lately?
I have been to Canada. That's true. I got back from Canada like a little under a month ago because I have no control or fiscal responsibility. I decided I was going to purchase tickets to go see My Chemical Romance a second time this summer. And the best tickets I could find for the least amount of money were in Toronto. So I made a trip out of it, and it was so much fun. So great. 10 out of 10, would do it again. Canada is lovely.
How's the weather in Canada this time of year? Is it really hot and miserable like it is here?
You know, actually, I expected it to be warmer. It was kind of muggy. We had like one day where it really downpoured. Unfortunately, that one day was also the day that we decided on a whim to go see an Oasis concert, which was outside. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, I got drenched. That part kind of sucked. But, yeah, not so bad. I'd say, like, not a deterrent. I'm sure the winters are something to contend with, though.
That's so great. I don't know. You just said, like, oh, I did it on a whim. And I don't know. That just sounds so nice. Like, just living your life and doing fun stuff. That's just so nice and happy. Like, I'm glad that you had fun.
Thank you. Don't look at my bank account.
Ah, bank account, schmank account.
Right. If everybody else is in credit card debt, why can't I be?
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
So happy to be here. I don't know. I guess life's short.
Go to a spur of the moment Oasis concert. Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Those tickets were cheap, though. So we bought tickets on StubHub for, like, less than $100.
Well, that's great. Okay, Austin, you gotta top that now. What's your super exciting thing you've been up to?
I defied the will of RFK Jr. and his cronies.
Oh, did you get a COVID shot?
I did get a COVID booster shot.
Ooh, congrats.
I had to get a physical to do it, but I did it.
I'm surprised. I thought they weren't allowing that anymore.
You gotta get a prescription.
Prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Was it more expensive?
It was $0.00.
Oh, cool.
So insurance is still covering it. That's yes. Something. I'm awaiting when they don't anymore, but you know, healthcare should be, it's a choice between you and your doctor and nobody else. That's my opinion. I think that should be the end of the discussion. I don't even know how we've regressed into this, but we have.
Should have a Patreon bonus episode about healthcare ethics. And how they relate to Pokemon.
Well, everyone has free healthcare in the Pokemon world, yeah. So.
It's a utopia.
That's true.
Alex, how's your week?
Everything has slipped away now. I can't remember a single thing I've done this entire week. So obviously it wasn't that interesting. I'm so sorry.
We didn't go to Canada.
We didn't go to Canada. We went to work. That, you know, boring, right?
Well, Alex, I know something else you did.
What? What
happened? We watched the Madonna and... What is his fucking name? I can never remember.
Norman Osborn. Oh my god.
Green Goblin.
Not Norman Osborn. Willem Dafoe. Oh my
Willem
god.
Willem Dafoe movie. Body of Evidence. Which you loved.
I loved it, actually. Okay, so I did look it up afterwards and everybody panned it as, oh, this is a cheap knockoff of Basic Instinct. and, you know, it was a shit movie and everything, but I thought it was crazy. It was bad in a good way.
Yeah, it was a good bad movie, for sure.
It was a good bad movie. It was one of those ones that you could sit with a friend or whatever and pause it at every bullshit thing that happens. Like, there were so many moments in that movie that we were like, what are you doing? This is crazy. This would never happen in real life. It was wild.
God. We should watch Basic Instinct and see if it's actually, like, good or not.
Oh, can we do a comparison? I feel like we should now that we've seen the other one. But yeah, anybody out there who has not seen Body of Evidence, if you're over 18, go check it out.
Guess where it is? It's on Tubi.
Tubi has it for you.
Tubi.
Oh my God, we love Tubi. I think we hype up Tubi more than anything on this podcast. We're not affiliated with Tubi, but Tubi, if you're listening, hey.
I'm surprised our episodes of Out of the Drying Pan are not on Tubi.
They could be if you wanted them to.
Very easily.
Okay, yeah. I feel like we need to plug this. And again, we're not affiliated and I don't know anything about this movie, but I was shocked to discover that, what was it, from 2005 or something, Austin?
Time to Duel.
The time. Yes, Kelsey, you know of it. Oh my goodness.
Kelsey told me about it and I told you about it.
She's the one. It was, oh my God, thank you, Kelsey. I was shocked. Did you know it was on Tubi? That's crazy.
Yes. Yes. That actually is how I found it. So what? Tubi wins again.
For those not in the know, it's a live action Yu-Gi-Oh fan film recorded in like someone's apartment dining room or something, it looks like.
You know what? I feel like this is an inspirational moment. This is a don't let your dreams be dreams, you know? Like, go off and do the thing you want to do. You make your fan movie. You do that thing you've always been saying you're going to do, but you never do. Just like I always say, I'm going to start a YouTube channel, but I never do it because I'm scared. Anyway.
That's true. That is a good takeaway message from Time to Duel. One might argue there's a different takeaway message that is, like, diametrically opposed to that one, but I agree with you. I think the world is a better place with Time to Duel in it.
The other thing I saw on Tubi was the Velocipastor.
Velocipastor.
Did you watch it? I've always wanted to watch that.
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, man.
The other thing you and I, Alex, did after watching Body of Evidence, we were all, like, you know, horny, is we went to Instagram.
Oh my God, we were not horny.
We were the opposite of horny. We were turned off.
That movie, okay, for real, though, like, that movie was so ridiculous. There's no, like, really, like, oh my God, I'm like, this is, like, hot in here. Like, it was so crazy. There's no way. Oh my God.
No. No, not a single person has ever been turned on by that movie.
Was it, like Showgirls level uncomfortable sex
scenes? No. Nothing Showgirls level.
Okay.
There was one crazy scene in a parking garage, and I was, like, in disbelief. I'm like, I'm sure people do this in real life. Crazy things happen in real life. But I'm like, for the purposes of the movie, I'm like, this is insane.
No, like, aerobic sex in a pool or whatever.
In a pool.
But what we did do, Alex, is we responded to Liam's prompt to do those Pokemon charts.
Yes, we did.
It took forever.
Okay, I just want to preface this and say, for anybody who's unaware, we had listener feedback. I think it was last week we talked about doing this as homework. I can't remember the website. I'm so sorry. But it was like the ultimate Pokemon team pick website or something. It's literally the most comprehensive thing of this nature I've ever seen. You can literally pick your favorites for every generation, every type, gimmick forms, all this stuff. So we did that this week, and we're going to post it on our social media, Blue Sky and Instagram, so you guys can go and check that out and see what we picked, and let us know if you agree with our picks or you think they're the worst ever.
Alex did not like some of my choices.
That's not fair. Oh my gosh. It's not that I didn't like your choices. I was surprised by some of them. Would I pick them for myself? No, but they're not my favorites, so it doesn't matter, does it?
All right.
Kelsey, what's your favorite Pokemon of all time?
Well, that's such a hard question, because I have many. It's probably Meowth, truth be told.
Okay.
Like, counting how I felt as a little kid to now, always a Meowth stan. But I'm also really partial to Zubat.
That's what I would have thought. I was like, oh, it's going to be Zubat for sure, because every time we talk about Pokemon, Zubat's the goat, so.
Yeah, I do love Zubat. It's a close, I mean, really, they're tied. I like Sableye also.
Well, sorry, we already did the Sableye Meowth episode.
Oh, you should have told us. You should have told us and we would have had you on for that one.
Instead, we got you for the Togepi episodes. Getting to that in just a moment.
Arguably the crazier of the two choices, but...
But first, who wants to hear what Pokemon Megastar has to say on Spotify?
Always like some listener feedback. Let's see what we got this week.
Okay, Pokemon Megastar loves the new intro for Advanced Challenge and recommends covers by Silverstorm and Jonathan Young on YouTube.
Okay.
Pokemon Megastar says that the trainer's choice with Mudkip and Minun was not wrong, because Minun does have an advantage over Mudkip. But our point was, Roselia also has an advantage over Mudkip, so Ash is an idiot.
I am the idiot, I feel like. I'm going to call myself out, too, because I always erroneously assume that Mudkip is also ground type, and that's wrong. And so I'm sorry. I feel like it would make more sense for Mudkip to also be a ground type, but it's not. So maybe it's the fault of Pokemon and not me.
I actually totally thought it was a groundwater, but I guess you're right.
I'm not the only one.
Oh no, it looks like it should be. Thank you. Like, it would make sense. Also, mud's just dirt water.
Yes. Can I use this moment right now to complain, like I always do, about, I think, the biggest misstep that they made in typing? I know I've said this before. Austin's going to roll his eyes. Xerneas not being a grass type. Oh my god! I'm so bad! It's a deer. I don't know, Kelsey, if you're familiar with the later... This is a later gen Pokemon, but Xerneas, it's the legendary of Pokemon X, and it's a big deer.
Yeah.
It's a deer. It's a forest creature. Why is it not grass? Especially because Yveltal is dark flying, and so it would be... There would be an advantage and disadvantage on both sides. Anyway, I don't know.
I think the most convincing evidence for me is that Xerneas turns into a tree.
Yes! Thank you.
It turns into a tree.
I just don't know what kind of bullshit that was that they couldn't make it grass type. I'm just, it's my most annoying typing thing that exists for me with Pokemon. Like, that's my soapbox. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm looking at it. It's a fairy type, but yes. It could also totally be fairy grass.
I also feel like we have hardly any grass type legendaries.
Is Celebi a grass type? Well, no, is that a mythical? I always forget.
It's a mythical, but close enough, yeah.
Grass types.
Virizion.
But yeah, no, that's my one thing. I'm sorry, every time I have an opportunity, I have to complain about it, so I did.
Well, speaking of complaints, let's hear Pokemon Megastar's MVPs and LVPs. For the Delcatty episode, MVP is Corsola for winning against Delcatty, even though it got the shit beat out of it. LVP has to be Casey, because Pokemon Megastar is not going to let Casey escape the LVP this time.
Facts.
For the Watermelon episode, MVP is Trico for finally learning a Grass-type move, and LVP is Natasha the Melon Master for wanting to show everyone her patch.
Oh my god. I thought you were going to say her melons too, which would be equally as funny.
So, here's a final question. For all three of us, I suppose.
Oh.
If you were to transform into a Pokemon, Mystery Dungeon style, what Pokemon would you be? And if you formed a rescue team, what would it be named?
Y'all, you guys are out here asking such good questions, making me think about stuff. I don't know. Kelsey, do you have a thing that springs to mind? Or
not even.
What's your gut? What's your vibe? Like,
what's my vibe?
Yeah.
Oh, Zubat.
Do that.
Maybe. Yeah.
My first vibe is like, I feel like you want to be a human type Pokemon, right? Like with a human form, because you need hands and stuff. Like if you were a Zubat, you wouldn't have eyes and you wouldn't have arms or feet.
Yeah, but then I have less responsibility. There's less expectation.
No, you have to run a rescue squadron to save Pokemon that are lost in caves.
Oh. Well, I can echolocate.
That's true. That's very useful. That's a perfect answer.
So I feel like that would be an asset. Hands are kind of overrated. And also don't necessarily matter that much in the Pokemon universe.
I think I'd be a Snorlax.
Ooh.
Because I think sleeping and eating all day sounds like the dream. That's all I ever really wanted.
I'm cheating because I'm looking at all the human type or like Pokemon. Because I'm like, I want to have arms and stuff. But...
Those are not the best options to pick from. Do you want to be Jinx or Machoke?
No, there's more than that. There's like...
Drowsy.
Yeah, there you go. There's Electabuzz and Toxicroak and Gothitelle. Oh my god.
Oh, you'd be Gothitelle.
Gardevoir?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say Gardevoir because Gardevoir is fancy and elegant and still human enough to kind of not make it so shocking to be a Pokemon. So that's my choice, even though I'm not a big Gardevoir person.
So I think the three of us need to form a rescue team. What should we call it? Team Drying Pan.
Team Drying Pan, oh, yeah.
Of course.
Why didn't you say Lucario, Austin? Clearly, the choice is Lucario.
Why would I be Lucario? I mean, I like dogs.
Lucario is the Pokemon.
Well, I'm not a furry.
Oh, God. Okay.
Did I ever tell you about the time I played Mystery Dungeon 3, Gates to Infinity, and I started the game, and I had to name my team, and so I called it Team Pokefuckers, because I thought it'd be funny.
Oh, no.
And I got maybe 30 minutes into the game, and everyone was saying, Pokefuckers, Pokefuckers, Pokefuckers. And I was like, this isn't funny, and actually. So I stopped playing it, and I never played it ever again.
Because you named it something ridiculous, so you,
yeah, you I regretted basically it.
Self-destructed your own playthrough.
So I never finished it. I never got Mystery Dungeon 4, Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon.
Should we try again? Oh my god, that could be something we do when we do Let's Plays and everything, because we talked about doing Colosseum, which we're going to start, and so after that we could do Mystery Dungeon and have your playthrough at long last, Austin.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay.
All right, that's it for feedback.
Great. Thank you, guys. We always love hearing from you all. Keep it coming. This is a two-parter, and so the first episode, Austin, what is our first episode?
The Princess and the Togepi, which is a great title. That's an excellent episode title. I love that.
Can I embarrassingly admit that this is just now the first time I'm realizing the pun of this? Oh my god. Okay, and then the second one is?
A Togepi Mirage, which if that's a reference to something, I don't understand it.
That's not as good of a title.
No.
Awesome.
So before we begin, should we do like kind of a little recap on the epic saga of Togepi?
Yes.
Okay. Picture it. Grandpa Valley, 1998. Ash falls off an Aerodactyl because of Jigglypuff and rolls through a canyon and rolls onto a strange, mysterious egg. Which Brock then carries around off-screen for a few episodes and hatches into, oh my god, an unfamiliar Pokemon that's not one of the 151 originals. It's a Togepi, and it latches onto Misty. It then does nothing but kind of get in trouble and get Pikachu in trouble because it's like a thrill seeker, an adrenaline junkie. And we quickly find out that it actually has magical powers. It uses the metronome move, which somehow it always does a teleportation attack, or blows things up in a giant explosion. It seems to have raw, godlike abilities that go unremarked upon. Except Misty's like, I think Togepi might be an Eldritch Horror. And Tracy's like, Misty, that's stupid. Togepi is not a godlike creature. And they all make fun of her and laugh at her. Then 3 years of Johto go by, and Togepi does jack shit, except for that one time it tried to steal a Hellhound. And that one time it tried to murder Ash's unborn Phanpy. Basically, Johto ends without us having seen Togetic, making it the only Generation 2 Pokemon other than Porygon 2 not to appear in the anime up to that point.
Justice for Porygon 2.
So the Togepi thing never went anywhere. And now, 40 episodes later, Misty's back.
This was so weird. I know we talked about it, like these storylines continuing after the fact, and you have long since forgotten about them. You would be content, honestly, to move on with your life and not even think about these things. But for some reason, they insist upon tying up loose ends after nobody has thought about this for many, many years. So it's kind of a strange choice, but at least we have a resolution.
Where's that goddamn GS ball?
Oh my god. You had to bring that up again, didn't you? I was content. I was living my life. I'd forgotten about it.
I guess it rewards longtime viewers, right?
That's one positive way to spin it.
This is a commercial for 7-year-olds. And
I mean, Kelsey, that's such a good point. Like, if you had said that to me today, I'd be like, absolutely yes, because, you know, we've all been watching Pokemon for 20 plus years, and most of the core fan base that grew up with Pokemon are adults, like our age. But back in the day, like when this aired, to Austin's point, we were all still like kids. So kids don't give a crap. Kids are not like, ooh, I hope my viewership will be rewarded. So I don't know. I mean, I want to believe that's true, but then at the same time, I'm like, who is this for, really? Because who cares about this? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
They were concerned with the legacy. They were like, in 30 years, someone's going to sit down and really, really appreciate this.
You're so right. And you know what? And here we are. We are sitting here in the year of our Lord, 2025, and we're talking about this shit. So there we go. Okay, well, that's exciting. These episodes were wild.
These are bonker balls episodes.
I walked in. I saw Austin yesterday. I went by, and I walked in as you were watching this, and I was like, what the hell are you watching? What is on the screen right now? And you're like, you'll see.
You'll see. Alice, I know you and I would have watched this at one point a very long time ago.
Very long
At time. Some point, I made Kelsey watch these episodes, and that's why I invited her on here for this specific episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I keep making you watch these over and over again.
Kelsey, I just have to ask, like, what was your thoughts? Like, okay, watching it, I don't know if you remember watching it the first time, but, like, if you do, your thoughts then, and then especially, like, now, like, what are you thinking watching this stuff?
My thought watching it this time was, I feel like I've watched this before. This all feels a little too familiar. Initially, I think I watched it and I was like, what is going on? Because I have not seen, you know what, Austin, I think we watched these as the precursor to a movie.
Oh, we did?
I think so, because I think we watched them during the same general period of time where you were watching all of the Pokemon movies.
Adam, I'm going to name drop him. Adam requested, I want to watch all the Pokemon movies. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So I brought him all the DVDs. And at some point, Kelsey, you got involved with that, like halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah, because I missed some of them. I missed the ones I had already seen.
Did we, like, watch this as, like a warm-up exercise or something?
Maybe. I think we wanted to see Togepi on the astral plane. Like, I don't know.
I don't know how this came to be.
It really does feel that way. Watching it, it did feel like a precursor to a movie. It was so removed from, like, your normal, average, everyday Pokemon episode fare. Like, it didn't feel the same. It was very strange, thematically, in my opinion. I was like, it feels like Chronicles, it feels like a short, it feels like the introduction to a movie. It didn't feel like an episode.
It feels like we've literally gone to another dimension, which we
yes,
do.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a Togepi movie in the works?
God knows. Who could say?
You know, maybe this was like a storyboard idea they had, Kelsey. It does feel so different. Maybe this was something that they recycled for a plot of a movie or something, because it felt like that anyway.
Like it should have been a special, like a Mewtwo Returns or a Legend of Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, all right, then. I guess we can jump into talking about these in depth. Austin, what's our order?
Well,
this week,
I bullied Kelsey into doing our 30-second summaries.
Okay, that's what Austin does. He bullies people.
I see a necessity of what needs to be done, and I delegate. How about that? And then let me flip the coin. Alex, you are doing the first episode.
Of some, like, summarizing, like, entirely?
Full thing.
Full breakdown. Got it. Okay.
We still don't have our terminology worked out after 200 episodes. It's fine.
No, we don't. We say summary for everything because that's the easy word to say.
All right, Kelsey, get ready to summarize this first half in 30 seconds. Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Misty shows up. She is like gunning it when she arrives. She is fast walking like you've never seen before. And she's walking up to everyone. And she's like, hey, I'm here. Togepi's here. There's a Togepi celebration. But it turns out that the Togepi celebration that is being hosted at this hotel with no windows is actually a trap. And she's being brought to the Mirage Kingdom.
Time.
Okay, well.
We're going to talk about it. Don't worry, Kelsey.
Feel free to interrupt Alex at any time if you have something to observe or something to comment on. Yeah. Because we talk over each other all the time.
We got to have the discourse.
We'll do.
So, this is very exciting because we're at a lake. We're always at a lake, I feel like. That's the meeting place. And we're waiting for a very special friend. And that friend, like Kelsey said, is Misty. Oh my God, she has escaped her gym prison in Chronicles, and now she's here in the regular episodes. Wow. And she has met up with the group. One thing to immediately note about Misty is that she has traded her, in Austin's opinion, god-awful suspender outfit. But in my opinion, I think this is an equally terrible outfit. I don't know. I do not like what she's wearing at all. This is fugly. I'm so
It's sorry. So bad. It's so bad. It also looks really uncomfortable.
It does.
And it, like, washes her out. I'm sorry, Misty.
Thank you for the picture. Oh, yeah.
What is this thing she's wearing?
It's like a bodysuit. Okay, it's like a, oh my God, what do they call it? Not like a onesie. It's not a onesie. What is it? A bodysuit or something?
Yeah, or like a jumper.
Like, is there like a red thing underneath and she's layering over this horrible yellow short, high-waisted.
These, like, booty shorts.
She looks like a hot dog. She looks like ketchup and mustard. Like, what is this? This is a terrible color palette. Like, and they didn't change her hair. Like, they went through this whole thing of, like, changing her outfit and her shoes, which are also clown shoes. They're so ugly. But then her hair, she's still got the side pony. I don't know what they were thinking. This is horrendous.
No wonder she's so unhappy. They make her dress like this.
My theory is, after she had that stalker, she decided to dress as ugly as possible to dissuade any future stalkers.
Well, that could very well be, but I think to Kelsey's point, I'm in agreement. I think you dress how you feel.
Oh.
So, like, you know, she feels like shit, and she's treated like shit, so she dresses like shit. Girl, maybe this is all she can afford. Maybe, you know what, maybe we're being too hard on her. She is like Cinderella, and she has no money, and her sisters spend all the money on fine dining and photo shoots and modeling and boys and all this. And so this is all she can scrap together from what she has.
The rags she finds around the gym.
Rags. No. This is awful. Poor Misty.
It's gotta be a bad outfit for me to miss the suspenders.
I told you, you crapped all over the suspenders, and now look, you missed them because they were better than this.
Can we like do like a queer eye for Misty?
Yes, she needs help. She needs an intervention.
Well, you know Misty's back because we're roasting her for 10 minutes over her outfit.
Yeah.
Poor Misty.
Anyway, she's here with her bad outfit. And I feel really bad for her right off the bat because immediately her coping mechanism, Brock like asks her, he's like, how is everything at the gym? And she's like, you know, my big sisters are so great. They give me all the work. It's so funny. And nobody is like, oh my God, is this a cry for help? Are you okay at home? Like nobody cares. They're just like, oh, well, that's great.
Poor Misty.
I know. You would think that Brock, of all people, would recognize like familial trauma and abuse, but he does not step in to help, so.
That would require Brock to, like, think outside of himself ever.
Yeah. Maybe he's doing the same thing he does to Ash, because Ash blows him off all the time and never listens to the trauma, so Brock is like, fuck it, I cannot be bothered to deal with somebody else's trauma.
They're terrible friends.
I know, they're all terrible. If you guys have friends like this in real life, I think you guys need to step back from them and find better friends or be alone. Because I feel like being alone is better than having friends like this. So Okay, so May and Max are intrigued because they have not met Misty, although I'm sure they may, have heard about her. I don't know. Has Ash mentioned her before? I don't know.
I think May says, we've heard so much about you.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, she does, but it's not from Ash, right? It has to be
no,
from
definitely Hawk. Oh my God. Ash doesn't quite remember who Misty is at this point.
He's like, hey, you.
Man.
Togepi's also here, and they're like, just so enthralled with this thing. And Misty is like, yeah, so really the only reason I'm in town is not really for you guys. You guys are secondary to this. But when you know it, there is a Togepi festival that I got invited to. I'm the VIP. And they're like, wow, can we come? And she's like, well, only because I'm letting you come with me. It's like my plus four. How many of them are there? Four. Okay. I can do math in my head. So before they even can take a step, they're intercepted by two very suspicious people who are very obvious. We already know where this is going. And again, this is another proof that this is not like a normal Pokemon episode because Team Rocket does not care about Pikachu at all. They only care about capturing Togepi. And I'm like, who the hell cares about Togepi? This is very weird.
Well, apparently a lot of people care a lot about Togepi.
An entire nation of people.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in 1 second. Apparently, I know Misty makes a comment like, blah, 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 something or other, Togepi trainers. But to our knowledge at this very point, Togepi is the only Togepi in the world.
That we've ever seen.
Yeah, how can there be like a convention of Togepi trainers? Like, this is a scam, girl. This is like Nigerian prince scam. Like, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here.
I would have loved to see the actual Togepi annual convention. Like, what does one do at a Togepi festival?
Torment other people, cause chaos and havoc, and maybe eat some Togepi-themed food. I don't know.
Ooh, scrambled eggs for everyone.
Oh, my God. They try to capture Togepi. They whisk Misty away and kidnap her, and everybody else is left outside, confused, and they're like, wait, this is something is wrong. Kelsey, I think you mentioned this in your summary. How in the hell did they build an entire hotel around a blimp? Because that's what they have done.
I feel like it would have just been easier to paint the blimp. Let's be honest. Ash and Co. are not the most discerning. It still would have worked.
Colonel Hansen gave Team Rocket a very big budget, and they're going to use it.
I guess so. I mean, that was quite an airship.
What do we think the major import-export for the Mirage Kingdom, which is where they're going, by the way, what is their, like, economy? Like, how do they have money? What's the deal?
Well, I mean, they export blimps, obviously.
I thought Giovanni was involved, because we had the blimp thing going on, but Giovanni is not involved.
Maybe they, like, supply Giovanni with his blimps.
They're the blimp makers. They make the blimp. Oh my gosh.
They have a blimp airfield in the Mirage Kingdom.
I mean, blimps are egg-shaped.
Whoa. Kelsey, this goes deeper than we thought.
Maybe they make Fabergé eggs?
Hey.
And those jade eggs that Gwyneth Paltrow tells you to put in your vagina? Maybe they make those?
Oh.
Maybe they do all of the Easter egg eggs as well.
Ooh, yeah, that's a big one.
Maybe. Could be a whole egg economy based on this, you know? Maybe that's the thing.
An egg economy, you could say.
Ayo.
Ayo, Kelsey. I think we've solved the answer. I think this is what I want to believe.
Thanks for that explanation.
Oh, my God. Excellent.
Ah.
Oh, my God. Okay. So we were in a blimp, a Zeppelin, whatever. And you know how the blimp thing goes, because remember that one time that Togepi was on a blimp and it was like crawling around in the blimp rafters causing mayhem?
That's a great point. I think Togepi was blimpjacking that blimp because it wanted to go to the Mirage Kingdom.
Maybe that's why it was intimately familiar with the blimps, because it came from a blimp town.
Yeah, it was like crawling wow. in like the scaffolding of that blimp.
The nation of blimps.
Remember the time there was like a lightning strike and it like silhouetted Togepi as a demon from hell in the blimp?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember that was the moment that solidified my disdain for Togepi.
And we're really deepening the lore, the Togepi lore.
Well, someone's got to do it because this episode sure as fuck not.
Well,
I think maybe this is the first time in human history that anybody has drawn the connection between that episode and this episode and the blimp. So I just want to say this is a first for all of humankind. You're welcome. So we're on the blimp, and we're going to a place that we've never heard of, that nobody's ever talked about. You would think that people would talk about this, because this is like a whole kingdom in the middle of Hoenn called the Mirage Kingdom. That's where we are. I have no idea. Somewhere between Fall Arbor and Lava Ridge is the Mirage Kingdom.
Yeah, how do we even begin? Truly, I'm lost. I'm at a loss here. It's like the secret kingdom of Lemuria or some bullshit is hanging out in the desert and no one knows.
Maybe. I mean, I guess there's all kinds of like lost kingdoms in history. You know, you've got Atlantis and others that I can't think about right now.
They're lost.
They're lost. Yes. See? So maybe it's not so weird that there's a kingdom in the middle of normal civilization. Whatever.
The only thing we know about them is that they love Togepi, because everything is adorned with Togepi patterns.
They are obsessed with Togepi, and all of their architecture, Austin, like you said, is really disgusting because it's covered in those patterns, like whatever the hell you would call the Togepi egg pattern.
Man, disgusting.
Everything looks like that. I know, it's disgusting.
Those are fighting words.
I'm going to be harsh because they deserve it.
They're all egg-shaped, too, including their giant, like... temple castle.
It's yeah.
Really unfortunate. They have arrived at Mirage Kingdom. Ash and May and Max and Brock have snuck aboard the blimp. They hang off of it on like a rope and they crawl up to the blimp and they've stowed away, so they're here. They land and they are confronted by Team Rocket and they're like, what the hell is going on? And they're like, well, we are after Togepi and not Pikachu. Surprise, surprise. But they are all interrupted by a very severe-looking guy, and his name is Colonel Hansen.
Mm-bop.
I know. Every single time they talked about him or talked to him, that was all I could think of. That and, like, a colonel feels like such a specific title for whatever reason.
Like he should have been selling fried chicken or something?
Yeah. I don't know. He wasn't... he wasn't a lieutenant. He wasn't... Vice President Hansen.
Vice President.
I don't know. Colonel? I don't know anything about, like, military ranks. But isn't Colonel, like, one of the lower... Isn't it below Lieutenant?
Oh my god, don't ask me. All I can think of, though, is how we've gone even deeper into this egg connection. Because Austin said Colonel Sanders... chicken, mm-hmm. egg.
What came first? The Mirage Kingdom or the Colonel Hansen?
Oh. The Colonel Hansen.
Also, like, what's his full name?
Colonel is his first
legal yeah.
name.
Yeah.
That's okay.
His parents named him that. Like, Major from yeah, F-22.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. Then it's fine.
I'm not finding a quick answer on military oh. structures and where a colonel falls in that.
Just type in, is colonel lower rank than lieutenant? Also, didn't they call him, like, regent at some
they
point?
Do.
Like, I don't know about, like, medieval structure either, but I feel like he should have been Regent Hansen or something.
They do call him Regent Hansen at some point. Or they call him regent, I think, at some point.
A regent? What is a regent, by the way? I feel like we're getting lost in the sauce, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
What's a regent? I'm gonna look it up.
Okay.
Oh, it's a person who... Oh, real quick, Austin, sorry. A person who governs a kingdom in place of a sovereign during their minority, absence, incapacity, or acting as a substitute. Oh, so that was like when he took over, kind of. We're skipping ahead a little bit, but got it. Okay. What'd you find out, Austin?
According to the U.S. Army, a colonel's above a lieutenant.
Really?
Oh.
Okay, yeah. See, I know nothing.
Second lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain, major, lieutenant colonel, colonel, brigadier general, major general, lieutenant general... General.
Oh my gosh.
General of the army.
Okay. Well, it would have been better if he was General Hansen.
Okay.
There.
Because he's yes. at the top of the top. I'm most concerned about what the Mirage Kingdom is intending on doing with its military force.
Yeah. How? Okay. So we don't really talk about government structure of like Pokemon because there really isn't one. It's just like a free-for-all. But like how would, I'm assuming it's a democracy. So how would a country that presumably has a government... react to a kingdom within their own country that also has a government. A militarized government.
That seems to be a constitutional monarchy of some sort, maybe? Maybe an absolute monarchy, actually.
Well, we do get some insight into their succession procedures and how their whole structure is, and it's very bizarre, and I have questions, but I suppose we'll confront that when we get to that point.
I'm not convinced that the Mirage Kingdom isn't itself a mirage.
It exists in its own, like, dimension. It's its own, like...
Correct. Like, when we went through the sandstorm and the blimp, we were already crossing a dimensional barrier.
You're right. You're totally right.
Yeah, I think... Let's go with that. I'm with Kelsey. Let's just assume that they're not in the same dimension. They're in a different place, because otherwise it'd be too strange. It's already strange, but it would be even more strange.
It really feels like we've gone into Wonderland or something at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's like Wakanda. You know how, like, ooh, Wakanda is hidden from the rest of the world in the Marvel Universe? So maybe it's like that.
That's probably the most apt comparison, yeah.
Okay, so Colonel Hanson is a terrible person. We can already tell. He looks evil.
We love to judge people by their looks here on Pokemon.
Yeah, he does have, like, pointy features. I feel like that's a hallmark of evil Pokemon character.
Yeah, and plus he's purple. He looks a lot like Waluigi. His nose is pointy and big, and he's got bags under his eyes, and he just looks evil. So
pointy mustache.
in the mustache. Mm-hmm. Yep, you always know a villain because of the mustache. He's like, I want your Togepi, you children. So they get into a battle, Brock and Ash, and they're like, run, Misty, run away and save yourself. But they are attacked by I think we've not seen this Pokemon before. Austin, correct me if I'm wrong. Ninjask and Shedinja, both brand new Pokemon. Very interesting. What do you guys think of them?
Shedinja deserves its own episode, and they completely...
I know.
Just, like, threw it in here.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Kelsey, I don't know how much you know of Shedinja metaphysics.
No, nothing.
Shedinja evolves... Well, actually, technically, Nincada evolves into Ninjask, which were the black and yellow bugs we saw flying around. But if you have an empty slot in your team, your Pokemon party... It will split into two Pokemon, and the other one is Shedinja, and it's a ghost type, and it only has one hit point, but it has a special ability called Wonder Guard, where it can't be harmed unless you use a super effective move on it.
Is that how it works? I was always confused about Shedinja, but thank you.
I'm fairly certain that's how it works.
No, I think you're right. I 100% think you're right. I'm not questioning it. I'm just like, Shedinja was never one that I was like, knowledge. I never used it. I kind of love it, though. I think it's fun. It's different. Isn't there something also about the black hole on its back?
Oh, yeah. If you look at it, do you go to hell or something?
Isn't it something like that?
or you lose your soul, something like that.
is there any Pokédex entry on it?
I'm on it.
Maybe I dreamt that up or something. But
no, I think you're right, because you actually see the black hole in the sprite.
Well, you see it in the anime, too. There's a moment where you can see it, and then nobody says anything about it.
Oh, yeah. It says, if you look in the hole, it'll steal your soul.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Also, it's a crack. It's a crack. It's not a hole. It's a crack.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. A crack on its back.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Hanson is like, give me your Togepi, children, and Misty runs away. But during the attack, Togepi ends up flying off. It gets hurt in the explosion. It flies off and lands in the arms of a delusional girl who we discover is the princess of this crazy place, and her name is Princess Sarah.
Very Final Fantasy.
She's there with her lady-in-waiting, Miranda, I think her name is, and she's like, oh my god, princess, our prayers have been answered. This is the moment we've all been just hoping for. Finally, you have your Togepi. Because this is where we learn how deep the obsession with the Togepi goes. Everybody loses their minds over it because this is how they choose their successor. The royal line, this is how they do it. It's not birthright or anything like that, I guess. It's like you have to have a Togepi and present the Togepi to the king or whatever. And you're like, okay, I'm the king now. And that's how it works.
I really wish Misty had gone and said, I have a Togepi. I'm the queen.
Oh my God, could you imagine if this is how we wrote Misty out and she's like become the queen
of the Mirage Kingdom? Oh my God. I wouldn't wish that on her. These people seem dysfunctional.
Steer clear of that.
What's a better fate, though, you guys? Would it be a better fate to live in this crazy place and be the queen of Mirage Kingdom, or to go back to her horrendous sisters and live in a life of misery and servitude?
I don't like either of those options. I think they're both bad in different ways.
I still think she could throw her sisters out if she really wanted to.
Yeah, she's got a Gyarados.
Okay, yeah, so these people are crazy. They're crazy for Togepi. Misty busts in after she regains herself and they figure out where Togepi is. And they're like, what the hell are you doing with my Togepi? Get your hands off. So Hansen, we find out, is a schemer. And we have gone to see the king. And he's like, yeah, Hansen is no good. So we'll take care of him. And we get the introductions of who these people are and what this kingdom is all about, which includes Togepi being worshipped as a guardian Pokemon. Of course, we get the additional explanation that anybody looking to ascend the throne of Mirage Kingdom needs to find a Togepi, and that Hansen is plotting to steal one in order to crown himself the king.
I feel like that goes against the rules, but I guess it's kind of a cutthroat. Anyone who gets their hands on a Togepi might makes right Togepi structure.
How often do these succession ceremonies happen? And is this guy dying? Like, why is there a succession happening when he seems perfectly cognitively able to continue to rule? Like, he's not that old. Like, I just have so many questions.
Right. For some reason, the holy date of the ceremony is tomorrow. Right? So Sarah needs that Togepi now.
But why are they planning on a ceremony if nobody has a Togepi to present? I thought the whole thing was dependent on present. Like, if you have the Togepi, you're like, I can be the king now.
Do you think they're going to execute the king tomorrow?
I mean, they do have that, like, Togepi appraisal situation. They're like, later on, they're like, yep, this Togepi is A+ Togepi. So there does seem to be some sort of oversight committee with respect to Togepi succession decisions. I'm not sure. Maybe the king is being a responsible ruler and is recognizing that he's getting up in age, and so he's stepping down to allow for a peaceful transition of power.
That's true. Do it now before Hansen outlives him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows Hansen's up to no good.
Hansen looks like he's the same age as the king, so I'm not really sure what Hansen's plan is there, but
maybe it's like a Jafar situation.
Yeah, that was my assumption.
Yeah. But is there like a cool down period on this whole thing? Because I feel like, okay, for example, you bring a Togepi to the succession ceremony and you're like, I'm the king now. And then the very next day, somebody's like, well, wait, I also have a Togepi. I'm the king. How often are we able to do this Togepi king succession ceremony thing?
What we don't know is that this happens every day. There's a different royal family every day of the week.
Oh my God.
Because someone just pops up with a Togepi and they're like, guess what? It's my turn.
Oh my God. You know, you're the Saturday king. You're the Sunday king.
And they all get executed, so they all get killed. I don't know why anyone ever does it.
Executed.
Hey!
Well, all good points. I don't know. More questions than answers, but that's because we're in a crazy backwoods place that doesn't seem to know up from down. So, anyway, Sarah and Miranda are like, oh my goodness, you have to get out of here. This is a dangerous situation. You cannot have Togepi around because Hansen is going to capture it and become king, and we have to maintain our royal family line. We can't let any usurpers in, so, you know, you got to go. But suddenly, before they can go, a mirage appears above the temple, and that's how we have the whole Mirage Kingdom, and that's where its name comes from. And Togepi starts, I don't know, this is like Paranormal Activity shit. It starts like flying towards this temple, like out of nowhere. Just there it goes. And Misty's like, wait, where are you going? And then that's when Hansen attacks them, and dun dun dun. Wouldn't you know it? This is a cliffhanger episode. What's gonna happen next?
We'll find out after we do our MVP, LVP, and quote.
This is a nail biter for real, you guys.
I got a randomizer generator. Alex, you're first, followed by me, followed by Kelsey.
I have bad news. I don't have a quote.
There were no quotes. There was too much exposition for quotes.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to cheat. I'm going to say the thing I said before about Misty and her sisters. She says at the very beginning, "My big sisters are so generous, they like to give me all the work."
Oh, that was the same quote I wrote down. No.
The only good one.
It's okay. The only Kelsey. Quote.
That's okay.
We're going to have a group quote. This is the group quote because there was literally nothing else that was a note worthy to have. So that I'm fine with that. Let's all just use it.
Yep.
Cool.
My MVP, I'm going to give it to Shedinja, honestly, because I think it's kind of neat. I'd never considered it before, but it kind of was cool. And it was pretty strong. It was doing some major damage and stuff. So why not? My LVP is Togepi, because I don't like it. And it has a whole kingdom that has been modeled after it. And I don't think it deserves it at all. And it's causing problems. So I'm going to just give it to Togepi. There you go.
Okay. My quote will be Misty and the Sisters, I guess.
Okay. Yes.
My LVP will be Misty for her horrible new outfit. Maybe I should give it to her, like, stylist. Maybe that person deserves it. But I'll give it to Misty because I feel like Daisy pulled a trick on her. They were like, look, Misty, we got you this hot new outfit.
Yeah, from her travel. They're like, oh, look, this is like the hottest trend in wherever place, and lied to her.
My MVP, damn, I will give it to nobody.
Austin. Oh
no,
my God.
No. Someone help me out here. Who are my other options?
Miranda.
No, she cheated on Steve, so I can't pick Miranda.
Oh no.
She cheated on Steve in Carrie's kitchen.
Oh my God.
She was naked that one time.
Oh, she was naked that one time.
You can give it to the blimp. You can give it to
the blimp. the sandstorm.
I was going to say the sandstorm, but I'll let you have it if you want it. Do you want
no,
it?
No, no. Mm-mm.
Okay, I'll give it to the sandstorm for protecting the people of Hoenn from the horrors of the Mirage Kingdom.
We already know the quote situation is what it is. My LVP is actually going to be Shedinja, and it's because it had the opportunity and the ability to steal the souls of everyone involved in this and stop this episode from happening. And it didn't take it. It didn't take that opportunity to end Colonel Hansen's evil reign. So, LVP. MVP. Yeah, that is a hard one. You know what? Meowth gets MVP for driving the blimp.
That's a good point. Last time they were in a blimp, Meowth did not know how to drive it, and now he does. He learned.
He learned. That's what we call character growth.
Yeah.
So, MVP status, absolutely.
Oh, boy. Okay. Right. Kelsey, are you ready to recap part two?
You know
you
it.
You got this.
Get ready to succeed the throne in 3, 2, 1, go.
Everybody is upset. Togepi, no. Mei threatens to hoist Torchic upon all of us. Horrible plan. Hansen is there. He gets Misty's Togepi appraised. This is when the appraisal happens. He is succeeding to the throne, but oh no, they go to the Togepi dimension. All the Togepis are sick. Hansen's time. Bad vibes have killed them all. Oh no.
That is a good point about bad vibes killing them all.
His bad vibes were killing me. So
we continue where we left off, and all the Ninjask and the Shedinja are gonna kill us all. But thankfully, Togepi unleashes its otherworldly powers that it's had the whole time and unleashes a blue energy force field. And I think it's Sarah who's like, a safeguard? But how? I'm like, well, I guess it just used a fucking Pokemon move. That seems pretty straightforward to me, but what do I know? But then things stop being straightforward when the Mirage Temple, which is like Revolutionary Girl Utena, by the way. It's like an upside-down castle in the sky.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Oh my god, good connection, yeah.
There's a magic mirror that is in the Mirage version of the Mirage Kingdom, and it sends out a blue light that envelops our protagonist, and they teleport to another dimension. Okay.
Who the hell wrote this episode, by the way? Like, what? this is lunacy. This is so crazy. Like, this drugs involved, I feel like.
Someone was given the prompt of make a Togepi episode, and they were like, I gotta take every single fucking barbiturate I have.
Yes.
And just go for- Actually, we know that's what Takashi Shudo actually did, was he took drugs to write Pokemon episodes.
Wow.
I don't think he wrote these episodes, though.
I mean, I feel like it'd be really hard to write a Pokemon episode. I feel like I'm not disparaging anybody for using a little bit of, like, an enhancement to try to get through this nonsense. So you gotta do what you gotta do.
That's true. Grant Morrison style.
Yep.
So we're in the Togepi Paradise, also known as the Togepi Dimension, which is the funnier title for it. It's basically a green field with trees, and everything has Togepi symbols all over them. But unfortunately, it's not much of a paradise because all the plant life is dying. Oh no, it's like they are owned by me, and I don't know how to water them correctly.
Oh my god.
They're withered.
They're withered plants. They're all crumbling to pieces. There's like barren fields of death and decay all around. It's just a bad vibe, man. Brock apparently is an expert on Togepi dimensions because he says, this plant life should all be thriving. Like, Brock, how do you know that?
Is this the bad part of the trip? Like, is this like the representation of when you're like tripping out and it's like a bad trip and so everything's like bad?
Oh man, everything's dying all around you.
Brock is so insufferable too. Like, just to touch on that point, he's so fucking insufferable. He's always chiming in on shit that he has no business chiming in. There's no way he could possibly have known this was ever a thing. And what would you know? Like, how would you know what it's supposed to look like? Maybe it's supposed to look like this because Togepi are spawns of the devil and it's all like a hellscape. So
I would assume there should be like pits of lava everywhere and like yes. People being tortured. This is the Togepi homeland. Alex is being a breakout.
Sorry, I was just imagining people on like being like pilloried and like on like a like strapped to like torture devices and being turned on like a wheel of spikes.
Yeah, and the Togepis like, are the one turning the wheel.
Oh my god! And like cracking the whip and shit. Like, oh my god.
Maybe this is the mirage that it shows to others to lure them into yes. The true Togepi paradise, which is as you have described.
Yeah.
This is insidious. Oh my god, this is mm-hmm. I agree.
There's layers. Layers on layers.
So Miranda's been to the Togepi dimension before, but she's only been there when it was in like its disguised state as a tranquil forest. She's never seen the Dante's Inferno version of the Togepi paradise as we know it should be.
Okay, wait. I'm so sorry. I just remembered. I thought we were going to get a follow-up on this. I thought we were going to get like more explanation when she makes that weird one-off comment where she's like, oh, I've been here one time before with the king. Nobody talks about that anymore. Like, were they having an affair? Because that was where my mind went.
I think maybe Miranda's the true mother of Sarah.
Is that why she's always spending time with her?
Yeah, because Queen Togepi doesn't seem to care about her daughter very much.
No, in fact, I forgot she existed. I forgot there was a queen until just now when you mentioned that there was a queen.
Did she even have a single speaking line?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think she did.
Oh my god! Okay, well, there you go. Maybe the queen is, like, maybe she's just, like, a completely checked out, you know?
So Togepi, who this entire time has been pretending to be nothing but a helpless baby, has completely dropped the charade at this point, because it's finally getting what it wants, and it's just using its magical powers to fly around, and it's surveying the dying plants all around, and it's so sad. Because this should be a prosperous land of cock and ball torture.
Oh my god!
And Togepi floats around and it finds five other Togepis who are all dying because they're suffering.
I love how we're delighting in this. Like, we're all laughing. Like, oh good god, dying Togepis! Oh, it's so funny.
It's so absurd! So ridiculous!
I know.
I think at this point Miranda tells us that apparently all Togepis are born here in the Togepi Paradise, and they are sent to Earth with a mission to connect with the hearts and minds of people, or something, and then return from whence they came once their mission is complete.
At that point, Misty says something like, Togepi touched my heart. I don't know. I feel like I didn't need to know that, Misty.
Yeah, gross.
Keep
Misty,
that to yourself.
Oversharing.
Togepi gave her CPR at one point to keep her alive. She touched her heart.
Touched her heart.
This begs the question of if our Togepi always had a sacred mission that it was carrying out by following along with the twerps this whole time.
If by sacred mission you mean causing misery and chaos everywhere it goes, then sure.
Okay.
This is such bullshit. How come nobody chimed in and said, this is weird. We found our Togepi years ago in the middle of a desert canyon. That doesn't seem to fit with what we're learning here.
There was a small hole that appeared in the Togepi Paradise dimension one day, and one of the Togepi eggs rolled out of it.
Like, all these Togepis, they're not eggs. So do they become eggs to go into Earth? Or, like, obviously that's just an oversight and the continuity doesn't exist. But, you know, nobody mentions it.
Mm-mm.
All the Togepis are dying because Colonel Hanson has his bad vibes. And if there's a person with ill intentions in the Mirage Kingdom, the Togepi dimension just turns to shit and everything dies.
They say specifically an unpure heart. Which is exactly what that man has. We've learned.
Those Togepis better avoid our real world, if that's all it takes to knock them out.
Oh, nothing but unpure hearts.
Ugh, Togepi, stay away if you want to keep living your life in peace.
Man.
Meanwhile, back on Earth, Shedinja is using its solar beam on the magic mirror portal. And that distorts reality. Hanson specifically says, okay, Shedinja, it's time to warp space and time. But and that opens up a dimensional portal that allows the twerps in the Togepi Paradise to see the Mirage Kingdom, but they can't travel through that portal. And it's a one-way mirror. Team Rocket can't see them. But Togepi is able to use its Togepi powers to travel through the dimensional fracture. And that allows the Ninjask to beat the shit out of it. It explodes and falls to the ground.
Oh my god, this is the most dramatic thing I've ever seen. It like gets attacked and then it like crashes to the ground in like a smoking heap. And it's like a silhouette. It's like a black and white silhouette. And it's like everybody's like, oh my god, like they're all shocked. And Togepi's smoldering and smoke is coming off of it. And it's just very sad. I don't know.
Because they bashed it against a pillar.
God.
God, Pikachu, you're supposed to be Togepi's babysitter. What the fuck are you doing?
Pikachu was gone this entire episode. I don't think...
He doesn't say a word.
No.
Pikachu could not give a shit. Pikachu was like, oh, good, finally, you're out of my life.
What if this entire time Pikachu was like, God damn it, I thought I was done with this Togepi, and now it's back?
Eh, just let it handle itself.
Pikachu walked off the set because he and Togepi no longer got along. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to have no part in these episodes. It's actually a stand-in Pikachu playing the role of Pikachu in these episodes. And that's why he got no lines.
Mm.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the five dying Togepis use the last of their power to open the portal up from the Togepi Paradise dimensional side. And all of our twerps and humans get back to Earth. But it's kind of too late because Hanson goes to the throne room with Misty's Togepi and says, guess what, king and queen? I'm the new ruler. And apparently Hanson has had an entire coup happen because he's taking control of the military force and all of the royal guard are on his side now. And they point their spears at the king and queen.
They're like, you got the Togepi. What can we do?
Did he, like, say something to them? Did he promise something to them? Like,
it felt like this was a plot point. Like, he should have, like, had his own little Hanson loyal forces within the military that were, like, plotting against the king and queen the whole time. I don't know.
They should have been, like, sleeper agents or something, you know? And they're like, oh, you know, our time is now and stuff. But, I mean, seemingly the structure of this kingdom and the royal succession is so flimsy. Just, there's no rules.
It's total anarchy here in the Mirage Kingdom, because as the twerps decide that Torchic is the key to victory, because only Torchic's ember would be able to get through Shedinja's defenses.
Horrible.
Jesse shows up on the PA system and says, hello, citizens of the Mirage Kingdom. And we finally see them, and they're all dressed in, like, peasant clothes. It's one of those areas. And Jesse says, guess what? Our favorite regent, Hansen, is now the king. Hooray! Let's all celebrate. So Team Rocket's like, hooray, we did it. We helped Colonel Hansen take over the kingdom. Which we never get an explanation as to
how they know him.
Yeah, what is the fuck is going on?
Well, we established this, you guys.
Oh, the blimps.
Giovanni.
Yes.
Yeah, Giovanni and the Mirage Kingdom are in business together because they are the blimp engineers, and they make the blimps, and they sell them to Team Rocket for all their blimpy needs. So.
Oh, man. I bet Jesse James and me are thrilled to be told, you have a new assignment. You will go to the Mirage Kingdom and help my drinking buddy Hansen.
Oh my god, my old college drinking buddy. That seems about right.
There's a fan fiction for you. But Hansen says, oh, Jesse James and Meowth, I am through with you. You are now exiled from the kingdom. Which, I mean, like, that sounds like a reward to me. I don't want to be in the Mirage Kingdom. What do I know?
Yeah, kick me out. I'm ready.
Meanwhile, Hansen takes the Togepi to, like, what do you call them, Kelsey? The Togepi High Council?
Oh, yeah, the Togepi Oversight Committee. Where they conduct their Togepi appraisal ceremony.
Yes, and the Togepi Pope is in charge of this.
Togepope.
Yeah, the Togepope.
Togepope.
Is in charge of this, and the Togepope says, yeah, that's a Togepi, all right. Place it on the Togepi pillar, and they do. And the lights of the Togepi pedestal light up, and so that means Hansen's now the king.
This is the most bizarre shit ever.
Miranda says, if I were Colonel Hansen, I'd be holding the king and queen in the highest tower of the kingdom. So Ash, Misty, May, and Sarah go that way, while Miranda, Brock, and Max go a different way. I don't know where they're going. But Team Rocket show up, and they're fortune tellers with a crystal ball. And the crystal ball happens to tell them that the king and queen are basically hogtied and thrown in the basement of Hansen's house.
So not in a tower, then.
Not in a tower. I think Miranda might be in on it with Hansen. I think we shouldn't trust her too much.
Mm-mm.
I have two questions for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, trainers, which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Carvana? Diglett, Slugma, or Minun?
I don't know. Kelsey, what's your guess?
Isn't Carvana a used car sales company?
Oh my god.
Yes, which Pokemon would you use to battle a used car sales company?
Yeah.
Diglett seems like he would do a lot of damage to a used car.
Okay, trainers, if you chose Diglett, you were wrong. It was Minun.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
Good guess, though.
Trainers, which one of these Pokemon evolves into Marshtomp? Mudkip, Surskit, or Meryl?
Wait, I'm sorry. Why did we get two? Oh, because was it from last episode that we neglected to
yes, talk about? Yes, I forgot.
Oh, so sorry. I was like, why are we getting two? This is crazy.
Marshtomp, right?
Yeah.
Which Pokemon evolves into Marshtomp? Is it Mudkip, perhaps? Or Surskit? Or Mudkip. Meryl?
Marshtomp evolves into Marshtomp.
Trainers, if you chose Marshtomp, that wasn't one of the fucking answers.
I thought it was.
Did I say Marshtomp?
You did.
I meant to say Mudkip. God damn it.
Oh my god. We're going to play it back and this is going to be great.
I'm the idiot all along. I'm the one giving incorrect information. I should never be a proctor. So that's Trainer's choice for this episode. Meanwhile, right. May's plan to use her Ember attack from Torchic to knock out Shedinja does not work because Torchic is knocked out immediately.
As it should be. Get rid of it.
Oh, Kelsey, you're not a fan of Torchic?
So Torchic, I don't care about that much, actually. Torchic is fine, but Torchic brings upon us two horrible, horrible creatures.
Oh, no.
Combusken, which is obscene to look at.
It's a cock that looks like a cock, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Do we need that in a children's anime? No. And of course, Blaziken. Horrifying, horrifying Blaziken.
Oh my god, I had no idea you were such opposed to Blaziken.
I am a number one Blaziken hater. If there are no Blaziken haters, I am dead.
Wow, I'm shocked. I'm very shocked. Am I the only one? I have to be the defender. I like Blaziken.
I don't like its crotch feathers.
I'm sorry that you've been afflicted with that condition.
That's true. It's a disease. It really is. You can't shame someone. You just have to help them.
I'm holding you in my thoughts and my prayers right now.
Thank you. I need the support.
I'll light a candle for you. But pour one out maybe for I me. Shouldn't light a candle for you. It is Blaziken we're talking about, so.
Mm. It's okay. I'm fine with being a wayward soul who is misguided.
If you say so.
I'll be over here on my island of...
Your Blaziken paradise?
Yeah.
That's the one with the cock and ball torture.
Very literally cock and ball torture.
Yes, yes. See, again. Horrifying.
Wonderful.
Yep.
The five Togepi, the dying Togepis, have arrived through the dimensional barrier. I guess they broke through. And they... put up a force field to protect us from Shedinja, and they all share their power very Dragon Ball Z style with Misty's Togepi, allowing it to heal and evolve into a Togetic, finally making its debut.
At long last.
Princess Sarah gives a long lecture on the power of kindness and how it's empowered Togetic.
I just don't buy it. I don't buy it, Princess Sarah. I don't. We know what Togepi is capable of. Kelsey is not a believer.
Yes.
Misty is empowered by this, and she unleashes Hellfire herself because she finally remembers that she has a Gyarados, much to Ash's shock, and her Gyarados knows Flamethrower. And wouldn't you know it, Flamethrower is type effective against Shedinja, and that the might of Shedinja is finally defeated. At this point, the King and Queen return from Hansen's basement lair. And apparently they have convinced the Royal Guard to join their side again. I would think they would only do that if they saw they had a Togepi, but I don't know, whatever. They're easy to bribe, I guess. Hansen is arrested, and his reign of 2 hours of tyranny has come to an end.
Thank God.
So he's gone, and now it's sunset, so Misty says, okay, Togetic, let's go back to Cerulean City. And Togetic says, no, I want to stay here and rule as overlord of the Togepi dimension. Sarah's like, oh, it's saying that it wants to be our protector and save the Togepis and protect our family from evil hearts and minds. And Togetic says, no, I want the streets of the Mirage Kingdom to run red with rivers of your blood. And Princess Sarah says, oh, you're so sweet, Togetic. Thank you for being our guardian Pokemon.
All shall love me and despair.
So Misty's like, okay, Togetic, I guess this is goodbye. I love you. And Togetic says, thank you for letting me leech off your soul. And then flies away through the dimensional barrier. Kelsey looks very distraught.
She can't believe it. She's flabbergasted.
First of all, Togetic also kind of has an unsavory look to it.
Unsavory.
It's odd. It's strange.
It's odd. It was a strange design choice for sure. I don't know how I trust its motivations.
It's up to no good, as it always is.
I don't know. I think the Pokemon Company agrees with you, Kelsey, because they didn't just stop with Togetic. Eventually, we'll get a third evolutionary form, and it completely abandons the egg motif. So they obviously thought it was disgusting, too.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that one. What is it called again?
Togekiss.
Yeah. And it looks like a...
plane?
Plane. Yeah.
It doesn't look like an organic being.
It looks like an otherworldly hellspawn, which is what it is, as we know, for sure. It's canon.
Yeah, definitely.
We leave the Mirage Kingdom never to be seen or mentioned ever again in all eternity. It returned to the Mirage. Apparently, Misty has stolen the Mirage Kingdom blimp because they took it back to the lake they met at. And then there's no one else around, but Misty's like, okay, I'm going back to Kanto now. Bye. And she boards it and it leaves. I can only assume she's piloting it.
Well, she was like waving out the window. So how is she flying it if she's like standing there?
Gyarados is piloting it.
Oh my God.
How would Gyarados fit?
That blimp was really big. I mean,
that's
to be fair.
True. That's true. It is really big. It was an entire building at some point, so.
Although I hope it's not like hydrogen, because fire and blimps and hydrogen really don't mix. So let's hope not.
Yeah, Gyarados sneezes and the whole thing goes up in flames.
Oh my god.
Next episode of Pokemon, they just reenact the Hindenburg explosion.
Meanwhile, back in the Togepi dimension, the Togepis have multiplied. There's dozens of them running around. One of them's holding a flower. And Togetic flies overhead, looks down at its warrior spawn that it has produced, and it chirps happily as it plots its revenge. The end.
I have to ask, so we never see Togetic again, right?
I don't think they even mention it ever again.
Okay. I was just making sure I didn't forget, like, another plot where it comes back as a Togekiss or something.
Nope.
Okay, good. Okay. Goodbye, Togetic forever.
They've left it. It's existing out on the astral plane of Togepi's.
In the collective unconsciousness of the human mind, yeah. That's why they're so powerfully affected by human emotions.
Exactly. Who else is there with Togepi? Like, are there other Pokemon that do battle on the astral plane?
No.
Really? Calamar?
I find that so hard to believe. I don't know why.
I can't think of any.
I mean, Larvitar kind of had an astral plane.
Yeah, Unknown took us to the astral plane.
Unknown, yeah, Unknown.
Mm.
So sort of, kind of, to answer your question, maybe.
Ooh, and Unknown also are affected by human emotions and thoughts.
There we go. Well, that answers that.
Yes, indeed.
MVP, LVP, and quote.
Who's first?
Kelsey, then me, then Alex.
All right, go for it.
MVP, Gyarados, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems
woohoo.
Correct. I don't even feel like I need to explain that choice. LVP, the king and queen, especially the queen, because I forgot she was even in existence. Because, like, how do you let that happen at all? It feels like your transition of power situation is really poorly thought out, and shouldn't it be your job as king to, like, do better? I don't know. So, LVP, for creating instability in your nation and allowing this to happen.
I completely forgot to mention that Sarah got her Togepi in the end, by the way. So she becomes the queen.
Yeah.
And stabs her father in the heart to get his throne.
He just went back to the dungeon.
Oh, maybe he went to the Togepi dimension.
Maybe. Maybe that's what happens. He retires there.
He becomes a Togepi.
The Togepi's feed off of his body and he...
That must be it.
Yeah, I don't know. The king becoming a Togepi feels very body horror to me, and I don't like it.
Ew.
I don't like it.
My quotes, let me see, I did write them down.
Sorry, I am just now thinking of a Togepi being like a chestburster from Alien coming out of the king's body.
Oh my god. It does have a spiky head, you know, for,
yep.
You know,
for penetration.
Screwing out of the body, yeah.
So my note says, the Togepi fuck off. And the quote underneath it is, well, there they go, straight to paradise. That is my quote.
There Bye, Togepis.
There they go. I think, does Brock say it?
Probably. He always has a useless comment to make.
He was really, really invested in the state of the Togepi dimension. It feels like something he would have said.
Okay. My MVP is going to be Misty for being freed of the shackles of Togepi after all this time. Mm.
Finally, I'm so happy for her.
My LVP is going to be myself. For misquoting the trainer's choice and telling you that Marshtomp evolves into Marshtomp.
Marshtomp evolves into Marshtomp.
Yeah, so I get LVP for that one. And my quote, when Jesse commandeers the PA system that the Mirage Kingdom has, Jesse comes over the speaker system and says, "Attention, please. I have an urgent announcement from the Mirage Kingdom. A brand new king has been chosen mere moments ago, and he is none other than your regent and mine, our Colonel Hansen. Let me hear that applause." Miranda says, "I must be dreaming." And Jesse says, "And no, it's not a dream." That's all. That's all I got.
My MVP is gonna be... I guess, you know what? I don't even... Like, I guess Ash... Ash. Okay. I don't know. I feel like this is a throwaway MVP because I really genuinely, I'm so sorry, I don't have any other good explanation for anybody else. I don't know. Ash is, this is, I'm just going to give a bullshit MVP to him because I never give Ash MVP, hardly ever. And this is like the one time he didn't do something shitty enough for me to be like, no, he is LVP. So that's his one freebie for no other reason other than that.
God, the bar for men is so low.
I know, so low. It's in hell, just like we are in this episode. I do have an LVP for sure, though, and that LVP is going to be Misty for completely holding back and not using Gyarados at the first chance she could. She freaking waited this entire time after all of the danger and all of the mess that they were in. They, you know, let Hansen take over. Like, she could have solved this easily from the beginning, and she fucking held back Gyarados this whole time. Like, what the hell?
She absolutely had the power.
Yes. I don't know what she was fucking doing. She was just like, oh, I'm just going to pretend to be a helpless damsel in distress, can't do anything. Meanwhile, she has this trump card that she could just throw out at any time and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I have a fire type move that I can completely incinerate you with. Also, I'm assuming, Austin, that the original dialogue was go my steady because she kisses that fucking Pokeball like she's making out with it.
Kelsey is incredulous at that.
I don't know what this... these are words I don't understand.
What oh, Kelsey. Oh,
please,
Kelsey.
Do I want to know?
Do you want to know? Do you, though?
I guess. Tell me. What's happening?
Austin, that's a you question.
Oh, me?
Oh,
okay.
No.
Misty's Japanese catchphrase, when she sends out a Pokemon, she oftentimes kisses the Pokeball and says, go, my steady... as in, like, my steady boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, I don't know, Misty's a weirdo.
Because she's the girl, and the girl has to always be flirty and kisses her Pokeball and...
her steady.
My steady Gyarados.
My steady Gyarados.
This eventually does make its way into the dub. Like, okay. 20 years later.
I mean, could you say steady as, like, in terms of, like, my steady companion, like... always reliable type of Pokemon, like a steady type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
She does kiss it, so there's that.
So LVP is Misty for that.
Pokefucker.
Yep. Ooh. Oh my god!
Misty was the true Pokefucker all along.
But yeah, no, she held out on us, man. Like, she had the complete control this entire time. She could have ended this immediately, but I think she just wanted to see what happens. I think she, you know what, no. I think... can I give my true LVP to Togepi also because it was manipulating Misty into holding out this entire time?
True. They had like a symbiotic venom situation going on there.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do.
Togepi / Togetic wanted to see how it's going to play out because he's a god of mischief and whatever. So now that she's been freed from the malicious influence, it's like, oh, yeah, and I have Gyarados. I can help. Like, so, yeah.
That's a good point.
So, it makes perfect sense when you think about it, so.
Maybe she was waiting for Togepi to, like, do something constructive. Maybe she was like, surely, Togepi has come in at the end to save the day so many times, and Togepi just could not be bothered.
In all fairness to Togepi, it was exploded and thrown against a pillar 90 feet up in the air and then crumbled to the ground.
That didn't stop it from evolving.
That's because the other Togepis lent it their power.
Oh,
they laser beamed it and
that's
stuff.
True, I guess.
But thankfully, we'll never have to worry about that again. My quote is, this is not like a particularly funny quote per se, but I thought it was so ridiculous because Brock is an insane person who has to throw his exposition around any chance he gets. And I thought it was just like a really weird... I know they were trying to fill lip flaps, I suppose, so it's kind of a weird consequence of that. But it's when they're running around town to find the King and Queen with Miranda, and Brock and Max are there with Mudkip, and they're running, and he says, "Don't worry. If they're anywhere nearby, we'll find them. My Mudkip can use its fin to detect anything moving in the air, and can also sense what's going on. Nearby." Oh, and just to note, by the way, this is when they are running past Team Rocket, who are hiding behind a tree. So I'm going to call bullshit on that, Brock.
Mudkip gets LVP as well.
Yeah, Mudkip also. Everybody's LVP for this fucking episode.
There are no winners, except for Togepi, I guess.
No.
And Princess Sarah.
Okay, that is it. That is it. We're done.
Thanks for joining us, Kelsey. That was a marathon session.
You're such a good sport, Kelsey. Like,
thanks for having me. I'm so glad I got to visit the Togepi dimension again.
Well, we're going to visit it again in about 10 years, so get ready.
Oh.
We'll have to invite you back again.
Yeah, for the Dry and Pan All-Star special.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on any of this stuff? Or are we good to know what's on the menu for next week? Austin? Next week we have...
Okay, next week is a weird one.
A weird one? Oh boy, buckle up.
As we discussed before, taking the Chronicles Japanese airings into consideration, there was actually an episode between these Togepi episodes. But we skipped over it until next week, when we will be watching Training Days and Celebi and Joy.
Okay.
The problem is, the dub mixed up which one came first and which one came second. And I actually just looked at Pokemon.com and they mixed it up even further.
Oh, no.
So we'll have to figure out which one we want to do first on the day of, I guess.
Kelsey, thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon and deep diving into these crazy episodes.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me. Thanks for allowing me to visit the Togepi dimension.
There's no escape.
Yeah. I don't know mm-hmm. if you're better off for that, but...
Well, it's an experience. You know, it's always good to know what's out there.
Well, thank you. We really enjoyed having you on. And of course, whatever episode you want to join us on next time, please let us know and we'll be happy to have you back. Thank you everyone for listening and joining us today. We hope you had as much fun as we did. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so. Leave us feedback, reach out. We have our email account outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our social media. You can follow us over on Blue Sky or Instagram. Same handle for both, @outofthedryingpan. And we also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and want to support us, you can always check it out. Our link is in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content. So if you are so inclined, go and check it out. And as always, we like to say thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you next week as the journey continues.